Russian government has engaged in espionage against Americans. This has come from the highest levels of the Russian government, clearly from Putin himself, in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election.
I said this on Fox News Sunday a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, why is it surprising if Russia wanted to mess around with our elections? It's not like the United States hasn't wanted to mess around with other countries' elections. I mean, this has been written about and entire books devoted to this. I'm not saying it's what anyone wants, but if there was this pattern of attempting to hack and all this stuff, it looks like it. What there was. Well, we need better cybersecurity. We need better approaches to keeping the integrity of our elections intact. But I just don't understand why this is surprising to anybody. But Hillary's still trying to explain her loss by pinning the blame either on, well, at least either on misogyny or Putin. Secretary of State Tillerson is arriving now in Moscow. I know that airport well, Domodedovo Airport. And he is going to meet only with Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, not with Putin. Apparently, President Putin said himself he would not meet with Tillerson. Attention's high. Joining us now, he's the founder, editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, computer programmer. He is, depending on your point of view, a criminal or a savior to anyone who cares about transparency and truth. And he is holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he's been, and he's gotten political asylum for a long time. Most recently, the Vault 7 leaks were released in March. Remember that was when Kellyanne said that the microwave were recording us or something like that. Joining us now, Julian Assange. Mr. Assange, good to have you on the show. How are you doing?
G'day, Laura. I'm doing all right, considering.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, I want to get into the Vault 7. I know there's a big Showtime documentary coming out this summer. But given what you know about U.S. methods and intelligence gathering, how do you see this change, this kind of 180-degree change on the part of Donald Trump from the campaign Trump to the President Trump on the issue of foreign policy, at least?
Well, you can say on one hand, there's a question which everyone is kind of interested in, which is how long does it take for the intelligence sector, the deep state, to digest the president that isn't pre-digested. Normally, presidents entering into power in the United States, and it's also often true in other countries, come to a harmony with the most powerful factions in their nation, and that includes intelligence services, arms contractors, etc. Donald Trump was different. He wasn't pre-harmonized with that lot, and as he's gone into power, he's struggled against them, and now perhaps he's developed a compromise where he's not going to remove what was their most important mission, they thought, which is their mission to overthrow the government in Syria. It's the largest budgetary spend, the largest budgetary project that the CIA has. The other interpretation is that we don't know exactly what the evidence is, and that's part of the problem. Was there a genuine chemical weapons attack authorized by Bashar Assad? Maybe even the Russians agreed with it as well. It's quite hard to imagine why you would do that at this time. There's no need for him to do it. It's an extraordinary risk. But I guess it's theoretically possible, in which case it would demand a strong response. What it doesn't demand is going into Syria and overthrowing a government without any plan, because if the government of Bashar al-Assad, a secular government, a non-Muslim government, is removed, then there will simply be a fight with all the different insurgents in the area, fight for influence between Turkey, UAE, Israel, Jordan, Qatar, the French, the US, the UK, and there will be massacres of all the minority groups.
Well, and I think, again, administration said within 48 hours or 24 hours that Assad was responsible for this, that the certification that the chemical weapons had been disposed of during the Obama administration was obviously wrong. They hadn't been. They said they had video, satellite imagery and video of Syrian planes taking off from the base that was hit and then dropping, I guess, the bombs on the innocent population. And the phrase we kept hearing is incontrovertible evidence. And if you even raise a question of this, you'll be accused of siding with Assad. And I mean, obviously, I do not side with Assad, but I also we have to remember that everybody thought Iraq had WMD, too. And everyone just went along with WMD. So the thing that Rand Paul was saying in the Senate last week is, we'd like to see this evidence before you start sending in the cruise missiles. Could we see some of the evidence? And it doesn't look like, as far as I can tell, that the Senate has seen that evidence. At least I don't think they have.
Well, look, it doesn't pass the smell test from a who benefits point of view. Now, sometimes people do stupid things, so it is theoretically possible that Assad has done it. But unfortunately, the CIA has no credibility in this area. Its alliances that it has formed with UAE, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, etc., to overthrow the Assad government, will be significantly compromised if the mission to overthrow that government is stopped. So there's enormous individual, institutional, and relational reasons to engage in such a fabrication. So until we see public evidence, we have to simply say alleged. And I'm quite disturbed to see the number of journalists in the New York Times and elsewhere simply saying that there is such an attack. That's something that the U.S. administration is alleging. We don't know how good that evidence is. We know in the past that Turkey has engaged in false flag attacks. We know, and it's completely accepted, that al-Nusra and ISIS have had engaged in multiple, I think a figure of about 50 or 60 was reported in the New York Times, chemical weapons attacks themselves over the last 3 years. So there's a problem when the administration says, you just have to accept our word on this, because in the past, the word of intelligence agencies has not been reliable. And there's so many players and so much power at stake that even if the CIA is being honest in this time around, has it been fooled by these other players such as Turkey or Israel? They're perfectly capable of producing quite elaborate hoaxes.
There's been so much speculation and accusation leveled at you, and we'll just focus on the ties that are alleged that you have to Russia or a state actor, and whether you got the WikiLeaks treasure trove of information from someone representing a state actor or not. And that's used to discredit you, along with other things, repeatedly from both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, people in office, people out of office. How do you respond to that? I mean, I know you're not going to give up your sources, and, you know, journalists don't give up their sources. But how can you grapple with that? And how could you ever shake that off if you can't really reveal who your sources are? How are you able to do that?
It's a difficulty where you have to protect your sources, and therefore there's a vacuum. People, for various political reasons or institutional reasons, can say anything about the vacuum, and that's better than what you've said, which is nothing. So that's a problem with for investigative journalism. But let's kind of look at WikiLeaks as an institution. Mm-hmm. We have a 10-year perfect record for accuracy of our publications. Perfect. No one is denying that. So when we talk about credibility, I would put that credibility against any news institution, frankly, in the world.
Oh, so many of them have gotten so much wrong over the past, I mean, let's just say for the past 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, not just got it wrong, but, you know, deliberately.
Mm, yeah, or colluding with one party or another. What about WikiLeaks information on how Russia operates? Can we be looking forward to getting some WikiLeaks dumps on other major actors who have enormous military resources, enormous deep state presence of their own? And they're, you know, I used to live in the former Soviet Union, and, you know, I still love walking by the old KGB building, the FSB building, and you know, but we know that still operates today. Different methods, different goals to some extent. But are we going to have a WikiLeaks dump on Putin?
Well, we've already published more than 800,000 documents about Russia and Putin. Probably 5-6 of those are highly critical. A number of books have come out of those documents, including Mafia State. Not a particularly good book, but one that makes the case reasonably credibly that, you know, there's a lot of corruption in Russia, and that's based on our material. There's been a lot of lawsuits against Russia that have been based on what we've published. On China, we've published a lot about their censorship system, and that has led to some of that censorship system being rolled back or not being rolled out as fast. You know, sometimes they wait until the political turmoil has died away. But to understand that, you know, most countries are fairly provincial. You know, they're concerned about their politicians and their system. And the US is no different. So is there lots of discussion in the United States about our publications on Russia? No, because Americans are not interested in that. About our publications on China? No, because they're not interested in that. We've published more than 2.3 million documents from the Syrian government, including Bashar al-Assad's personal emails and the emails with his translator and his wife and you know, what kind of iTunes songs he likes to listen to, etc. So
that's not as interesting as some of the stuff you published about the U.S., though, right? I mean, iTunes is kind of fun, Julian, but it's not. That's not the kind of stuff we want. We want to know. We want to know, for instance, what Russia really wants in Eastern Europe. I mean, I'm not a neoconservative. Yeah. I'm not about to be one of these people saying we should go to war for Latvia. That's not me. But also, like, I would like to know a lot more about what Putin does to his political enemies. We know some of them end up dead, but what other ways do we track Putin? And again, I'm asking the questions I think just regular folks listening would ask of what WikiLeaks does.
My opinion, as I said, we've published hundreds of thousands of documents. But if you're asking what my opinion is on as an analyst on the on Russia in general, well, I think we should keep things in perspective. Russians are good at making noise, and others are good at arms companies and so on at instrumentalizing that Russian trait to make Russian seem a lot bigger than what it is. And frankly, it's my opinion that Putin really likes that. And me and, you know, my staff, frankly, you know, we're extremely annoyed about Putin getting any credit for our incredible scoops about the Democratic Party during the election process. Russia has a GDP smaller than that of South Korea.
Tiny compared to the United States.
It's almost an irrelevant state compared to China. But people are not willing to securitize China publicly. Mm-hmm. Why are they not willing to do that? China's too big. Mm-hmm. China has so much import. There are so many economic connections. People effectively financially incentivized to not criticize China.
Julian, hold that thought. I know I want to hear more on this. Hold that thought. We're going to try to hold you over, which we don't usually do to hour, but if you can stay, that would be great. I want to get into more of the China question. Julian Assange is with us. Questions for him, 855-40-LAURA. That's 855-40-LAURA, the founder of WikiLeaks. Don't go away.